Back in business.
Bro, episode 18.
Season 2.
Come on, man. You say big wheels keep rolling?
Big wheels keep rolling when you got traction like that.
Dog, we coming off a fire episode last week.
Yeah.
Shout out to Chelsea.
Shout out to Chelsea.
Did their thing. But now we got somebody else special. Listen. Now, I've been waiting on this episode as well. Listen, y'all. When you talk about legends, yes, I'm saying it. When you talk about music, when you talk about ownership, when you talk about somebody that's just behind the scenes that really make things happen, man, a lot of stuff that y'all see being orchestrated and facilitated in the city or anything else, you know, the humble legend, humble beast, man, y'all can get a lot of gems in this show. But to welcome to the Back End Business episode 18, let's welcome Kurt, who is the music tailor, man. Welcome to the show.
What's up, man? That was pretty dope.
Hey, he be coming with a fire intro.
I know, right?
I had to, man, because this it only can do that if it's really authentic and it's real. And a lot of conversations that I have with you, and I know I was telling Spook about you a lot, it'd be every time. I could be on the phone with you for 5 minutes, and it's, you done gave me something to the point where I'm ready to take over the world. So just let our audience know, man. Let them know, you know, who is the music tailor? Who is Kurt, man? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Right. So who is the music tailor? That's when I'm in my music bag, when I'm in the music field. I'm a producer and an engineer. I work at plenty of studios here. I have my own studios. I'm actually working on a project now. I dropped one back in 2017 called Just a Sample.
Was this your last one?
Yeah, it was a compilation, and I called it Volume 2 in hopes to do, Volume 1 in hopes to do a Volume 2. And so I'm working on Volume 2 right now as we speak. We got a record on there.
I don't know if you remember.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, that's a whole different story. We'll get into that. But, yeah, that's who the music tailor is. The music tailor. That's my producer engineer.
Alias.
Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly what it means. Like, I'm a music tailor. Like, you go get your suits tailored or your clothes.
Fit just perfectly for the artist.
Every time.
No matter. So when break that down too, because depending on some engineers, producers say they only work with a certain genre. You're saying as a music tailor, no matter what artist I'm working with, I can tailor a sound for you.
Yeah. So. A lot of times people work with one or two genres because that's really all they know. I have like a wide range of music knowledge, so I can pretty much do any genre of music. Any.
Legit.
Gospel.
Right.
See?
R&B, country, anything.
But where's your heart at?
So my heart is in music, so it's all music, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like. I really try to, you know, create the music that I want to create. Yep. I really don't try to, you know, go with the flow or make whatever is hot. Now, you can get inspired by that because, you know, it's popular, it's what everybody is listening to, but you just have to figure out a way to bring yourself across in what the ears are used to.
You know,
a lot of people listen to music on the surface level, so it's real hard as a creator to stick with that, but still be creative without it going over the heads just missing completely, you know?
And that's what we have. Sometimes they miss it completely.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. Now on a producer side as well, because you said that you engineer and you produce. Well, on the engineer side, as I must say, what's the difference do you think when it comes to being a producer and being an engineer? Because you have to wear different hats. So break it down for us.
So it's a big difference, right? As an engineer, you basically making sure that you you're getting the best recording possible. Everything is coming out nice and clean and crisp. The first time, so you don't have to backtrack. Levels, making sure all that's right. And just overall, just making sure sonically that everything is coming out perfectly, you know what I'm saying? So now when you in there and somebody lay something down and then they ask you how that sound, now they asking you to produce. That's not engineering.
Diamonds. Right. Uh-oh.
They're asking you to produce.
To right.
When they say, yo, what you think about that line or how did I say that? Now you producing. You're not engineering at that point.
Ooh. That's when you come with the, oh, you should say it like this or right. you should do this.
Exactly.
Or, yeah. You dang near a song right now. I mean,
I'm
like,
to tell you.
All that is involved, but at the core of it, you producing. When you get a little technical, if you throw a line in there, now you writing. If you,
for sure.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's a big difference in both those aspects.
So, I know me and Spook usually ask this question as well, too. Mm-hmm. But on the music side in the city of Cleveland, you know, like, what do you think is the Cleveland sound? You know, somebody like yourself that, like I said, people that know your history, know right, what's going right. on. Do Cleveland have a sound?
I would say no. You know what I'm saying?
That's, I agree with that.
That is my opinion. You can agree with that. You can disagree.
Yep.
But, you know, if you think about New York, you know exactly, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about L.A. South, you know exactly. Midwest is kind of, you know. I wouldn't say all over the place, but they just mixed with everything. You know what I'm saying? Because they was kind of like the last ones to get, you know, any type of highlight or recognition.
No, so they've been, like that.
They've been mixed up with everybody's stuff. So I would say Midwest got a mixture of everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
Mm. I could agree with that for sure.
Yeah, that's just like, my opinion.
No, though. Man, y'all. No,
that's
look,
just like right now with the, you know what I'm saying, the Detroit wave. Like it's artists here that's on that same type vibe though. Not knocking them though, but it's an influence thing too though, but sometimes
for
they
sure,
push
man.
It too far.
So like, you gotta think of it like this, right? Cause a lot of music or in the hip hop genre now is singing, melody based, right? So it's about what's catching and people trying to catch. So if that's pretty something that's catching and it ain't caught here, then somebody might jump on that and try to be like the first one to bring it here or just the first one on that wave.
Right.
That's a good
now,
point.
The only thing with wave hopping is like, again, you gotta hop, right? You gotta find the next one when that's dying down. And so like, you know, that could be a problem, that could work for you. It just, you got to figure that out on your journey.
Yeah, for that,
you know,
individual, right, 100%.
That is true, man, because like you said, because I was listening to Detroit music back in 2010 when I was in college. And now to see that they got their wave and you can think about that, like, and then people take that and influence it. You know, once you hear your sound, you be like, oh, we got to make all our records like this.
But
I feel like we got so much talent in Cleveland, but I do feel like we got to find what our sound is and uniquify it. But like, how important is like unity to you? When you think about that, because like I'm gonna keep going back to it, because our music people that understand and know you, what have you seen over the years in regards to the unity and the artists or different artists in Cleveland?
Yeah,
to
so
make it better.
Well, okay, so I'll start on one spectrum and then get to what you just said about making it better, right? So we at one point did have a little bit of unity, and I don't know if any of y'all remember this time, but it was probably around like the end of 2006, beginning of 2007. So from like the end of 2006 to about maybe 2009, we actually had a wave going and we actually had some traction and we actually had a music scene that was growing. Like right now, today, no songs would be played on the radio from what we did back then. If we didn't do that, it wouldn't be nobody getting played on the radio at all in this in this place.
Wait, break that down. Because they need to know.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a whole bunch of different phases of that. You know what I'm saying? It used to be something called home jams, but it was played on Sunday late night, 11 o'clock at night.
When you barely heard
it. Home jams was first. Then after home jams, it was like a battle of the, I forget what it.
Where
I forget
they play the two songs and they air the call.
Right, but those was local joints though. Those wasn't national records. Right. Those was local joints, and then they would come back the next week to go against somebody else.
Yeah, I remember.
That was second, and then when Floss got hot, he had his own mix show, and him and Tropicana had the hottest mix show in the city. And he was bringing songs in from
local.
Right, exactly. During primetime radio, because they had the hottest show. I think it started at like 7 o'clock.
Cool.
They had the hottest show and he was playing our records during that time with national records, like DJ, biggest DJ in the city at the time, and he was bringing in all, he was breaking records, basically.
Man, so that not went, because I used to hear people say it all the time, like, oh, how you break a record? This how you break a record.
Yeah.
That's how you break a record.
So it's a couple stages to that.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes you don't really know that something is hot.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It take a minute.
Yep. Yeah.
So yeah, you could be the first DJ to play it, but it might not catch when you play.
Right.
Mm. You feel me?
I can see that stage.
Yeah, because Floss was the first one to play Sloppy in the clubs.
Mm.
But it didn't catch until 2010. We came out, no, 2011, I'm sorry. We came out with that record in 2010, but it didn't catch fire till 2011. See, and then it had a 2-year run after that.
Okay, yeah, see, let's see, he didn't brought out, nah, yeah. Hold on, that's one of the records.
Okay. But that was the biggest, though.
Okay. Let's not let that go over your heads, though, because see, look, y'all, you hear what he, y'all sloppy, remember Sloppy.
Yeah.
Chilling with my, listen, listen, y'all, I still remember being in college, man, and being proud to be from Cleveland when that record came out.
That was one of the biggest records, but we wouldn't have been able to have that record if Al didn't have came down. We wouldn't have been able to have Sloppy at all.
So you know? Think he, not say you think he, but like when it comes to, because of course we got the Bone Thugs and Harmonies, all our legends, but in terms of like that era, he kicked the door open?
So all those is national acts, right? So they have
industry
budgets behind them,
correct?
Like did Bone have records out in the streets that was hot on their own? Maybe in their neighborhood, but I'm just talking about
without the budget.
Yeah. Anywhere.
Yeah.
Right.
You right.
Anybody before them, even MC Brains, anybody, nobody. Nobody.
Wow.
Al didn't have no label behind him. And that was the hottest record in the streets. It was getting played in every club. No label at all.
100%.
That was all street, not like street. That was just all.
Man, he had LeBron at the video shoot.
Bro, they recorded.
I remember that.
They recorded that song in a garage, bro.
See, these are diamonds.
See, y'all don't even know, like, the first version that y'all heard in the club was the original version that was recorded in a garage.
Mm.
Fatty re-recorded that and remixed it.
What?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And then for the audience that don't know, Fatty who?
DJ Fatty Banks.
Shout out DJ Fatty Banks.
So that was around the time when we did have some things going on here. We did have some traction going. Everybody was going to Big Bang Studios. That was Fatty Studio. We had everybody there. Fat Al, Chip, MGK, Ray Jr., everybody you can think of. Right. We was doing mixtapes with EV and
shout out to EV,
and Floss.
Yeah. Everybody. I remember that time.
I don't even know if y'all remember Pretty Boy Floyd, but all of
that. Yeah, Pretty Boy Floyd.
He was the first one that was having those hot mixtapes, bro. Yeah. He was a DJ.
That was the prime mixtape era too, though,
bro.
That's when live mix. Shout out to Pesh too.
Yeah.
Pesh, he ran. Well, he owned live mixtapes.
Yeah, all of them. All of them.
Era for sure.
Why do you think like our artist was like able to have their stuff on the front page on live mixtapes?
I used to always be peeping that. I'm like, man.
Especially
I thought it was
like,
a Cleveland thing at first.
Especially Pooh, because Pesh is from here.
Damn, there is. Because Pesh, he's from here. He's from the city.
From here, bro.
Man, this cracking my head. Because remember back in the day, only way you can get your music, to get your music on Dat Piff or Live Mixtape was like the golden era.
For sure.
You ain't had no Apple Music, no Spotify.
None of that.
You had to be on them platforms.
That was the only way you can get your music heard besides besides SoundCloud.
Wow.
And SoundCloud wasn't even that big at that time.
Nah. State mixtapes.
Live mixtape though, y'all know. I got one album, one
live
project on there, man.
Was the hottest thing in the world.
100%.
Major labels was spending big money to get that whole front page locked down with the clock, with the countdown.
Yeah.
Ooh. 100%.
Right, big that. Money. Yeah. And artists from here was getting that just because they from here.
Facts.
Wow. Facts.
Like it was crazy back then. But
yeah,
that was the time when we had the movement going though.
I was gonna say, what all records you produced?
So it's a lot, man, and it's a lot. I was doing damn near every mixtape for Pooh Gutta, every mixtape for Young Shank, every mixtape for Ray Jr.
Like that's the whole wow.
And if I wasn't making nothing on there, I was recording them all and mixing them all.
Right.
Everyone, bro. Probably in between 2010 and 2011, bro. Honestly, probably worked on like 250 mixtapes. So that's probably well over 1,000 or 2,000 songs. It was
easily.
It was a lot of work.
Yeah.
Man.
That time, that's all I was doing. So it was studio all day, all night.
Now, how does that look though? Because I wanted to ask you that too. Because a lot of people are like, man, I'm in the studio, man. Like you was really like, what is that? Yeah. What did that day look like for you when you were in them studios all day, all night?
Just that, bro. Like especially when you're working on a project, like sometimes I wouldn't even go home. Like I would, after the last song is cut for the day, I might go to sleep in the studio. We had couches and stuff in there, little air mattresses. Wake up 7-8 o'clock in the morning, get to mixing something before that first session at 9-10 o'clock. And then you up in there all day again, same thing.
Man.
And that was every day, and that was pretty much all of us. And
so that's why. So it's safe to say, you definitely the man behind a lot of records.
And I tried to tell you,
one of them, one of them.
It's a lot of them, but he one of the vital players.
One of the main pieces to the machine.
Oh yeah, for sure.
To keep it going.
For sure.
That's hard, and I wasn't it. I got hip to you through Roscoe.
I told
you. Once he said you produced the Sloppy Boy.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we got to, that was ringing.
That was the.
Dipping on Roscoe.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, that was the biggest. That was one of the biggest records to come out of here. Yeah.
Oh, hands down. They had everybody at my college trying to buy Rossi. Like,
right.
Rossi became a thing.
I'm trying to tell you, I ain't never, bruh. I remember we had 2 gallons.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and right, the big joints. You can get the big joints and get cracked.
Yeah, yeah. No, seriously.
What?
I think, like I said, we came out with that song in 2010.
Yep.
But it went crazy 2011. I think that was on Ray Jr.'s mixtape, Elected.
Okay, I remember that season.
That was Elected. You probably don't, we had about 4 bangers on there, but I guarantee you nobody remembered that mixtape or nothing else on there. But we had about 4 or 5 of them on there, for real.
Shout out to Ray Jr. though.
Yeah,
man.
And then, that summer, 2011, they had the Summer Jam down at the
I remember that
Pavilion.
One.
Yeah.
I was sold at that, out. Baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
We probably had about 3 or 4 local acts on Summer Jam.
Mm-hmm.
And Ray performed that night, and he had probably about 10, 15 local artists on them. And he debuted Ezzy that day.
I remember all that, man. I remember MGK performance hanging off the speakers and everything. Yeah.
He
chairs.
Was there. He actually performed right before Wiz Khalifa. Wiz Khalifa was the headliner that year.
Man, that was a crazy time, man.
That was sold out. 5,000 people, right? And then when Ray performed that record, he dropped the music, bro, and the whole stadium was singing the song. It was like, that was the first time I was like, hey.
I'm about to say, what was your reaction to that, man?
Yeah, no. You know, so I'm not really an emotional, like,
understood.
You feel me? But that was one time I was like, yo,
all them hours in the studio.
We could really do this for real.
I bet. Hell yeah.
Man,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
That energy unmatched, though, when we come to that.
Period. That was one of them records. So how important is the business side? Like, now that you say that.
Yeah, the business side is super important to music.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super.
Because they know it's called a music business, but a lot of people just know music. So to our artists to understand that, break the business down.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a lot of aspects to the business if you know, if you're trying to get into it, but you really want to just get into the publishing and you want to get into the publishing and then just how royalties are paid out, especially these days. It's real. I don't want to say confusing, but it's a lot more components to it now when you add on streaming. At first, it was radio and sales. Super easy.
Yep.
Right. Right.
They're like the Best Buys and everything.
Nah,
you go buy a record.
Because nobody is really buying. And then they had to come up with, what you call that? They had to come up with a way to calculate how streams convert to sales.
Yep. Right.
And so that's where it gets confusing.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That's where you get 3,000 streams, only $5.
Right.
Like, bro, what y'all
doing? So it's just, you know, it's other aspects too, especially when you're touring independent. Like independent these days is like one of the most important things. Mm. Like, if you can, like, it's tough because it get expensive, but if you can, if you can find a way, if you can find a system to put together that work for you to continue to stay independent, I would do that as long as I possibly can.
What would be the most that you talk to a young artist that's coming up? What would you tell them as far as when it comes to that? What would be the most thing they need to focus on if they're an independent artist and they're trying to figure out the business side? Like, what would you tell them? Like,
good question.
So, the business side could be a lot, right? And so if you're an artist and you're trying to be creative, trying to do both will kind of hinder one or the other. Whichever the one you most focused on, the other one you'll lose aspects in it, right? So my advice would be to find somebody you trust to handle the business aspect of it so you can stay as creative as possible.
That's a good point.
Yeah, the business is very, very, it's a business, right? So every aspect of it, you have to have your fingers on it, right?
Yeah, sure.
So if you're doing that and you being an artist and creative, some problem might arise in your creative stage disrupt.
Right.
And that's something that you might not want, especially if you're trying to work on something. So that would be my advice.
How important is a team then in regards to that?
Right. So a team in any in any field is important, not just music. So it's also important to know the roles that your teammates are in. If you know the roles that your teammates are in, right, you know what they're supposed to do. You know when they messed up.
Right.
Because you know about that role as well.
Right.
So a lot of these things you do have to do on your own just so you know them before you put somebody in that position.
Right.
But if it's at all possible, I know a lot of y'all come in with y'all people, y'all family members. So if you can find somebody who you know can just focus on business and keep you in the loop. You're a lot further
than
a lot of people.
Man, y'all done picked up a lot. So since we're on the topic of ownership and just business, man, we all know you got the invested shirt on, and I see the YBIC, you know, shout out to the family.
Yeah, you feel me?
Let's talk about that, man, you know, in regards to, of course, you talked about music business, but just you do a lot of other things that you invest in on the business side, man.
Right.
So let's talk on that, man, in regards to the other side of the business that you, many of your endeavors that you are part of.
Yeah, for sure. So invested again, this is YBIC. Our apparel line is just YBC. That's Young Billionaires Club.
Love it.
YBIC is Young Billionaires Investment Club. Okay. So it's a, how can I break it down? Because it's kind of new to us too. Like, we just pretty much getting the ball rolling. But it's kind of like crowdfunding. We pool a bunch of our peers together and other people who want to get into investments that we are involved in, or any type of real estate investments, anything that we kind of got our hands into, we kind of present that to our pool of people, and we pool money together, and everybody get a piece of the pot once everything is said and done.
Love it.
That's
so
the way to go.
While we on that subject, one of the members of y'all podcast, half of y'all podcast is in YBIC with us.
Okay.
He invested with us a few months ago, and I did bring. I did bring with me.
Let's go.
I did bring with me our.
Our
handy dandy famous. YBIC packet.
Let's go.
This is for you, bro.
It's a packet.
Oh yeah.
Hold on. Can I open this?
You can. Yes. I mean, whatever you want to share is up to you. But everything is in there.
Look, y'all, YBIC, man. So look, as he was speaking on that, man, talking to my brother, talking to my guy, he told me about this. I'm like, man, I gotta get involved. We working together. We putting our heads together. Why not, man? And look how it's presented when you a member, man. So let me go ahead and open this up for y'all, man. Right. Like, let me go ahead and look how it's presented. Let me open this up for y'all so we see how we do this. Because this is done right now. It's like a little... Oh, look at this, y'all. Hold on. Invest today, enjoy tomorrow. Listen here. You get one of them invested wristbands. Y'all know how I get down. I love the wristband, so that's going on right there. ASAP. We're going to get to that in a minute. But let's check out the... Oh, it's even more. Hold on, y'all. Listen here.
Yeah, that don't fit in the box.
It don't matter. Look, we're going to frame this.
Right.
So when y'all become a part of YBIC, y'all see how you get treated. When you write, man, it's hard. Done right. From the down to the packaging, man, you get a certificate.
That box.
Hold on. You know, I might just have to let them see this real quick. Hold on.
And so just to note, like, he is the only one in the world besides the founding owners that got a gold one.
Hey, let's go. Hey, that's what I tell you. This is my brother. This is my brother.
Yeah.
Hey.
Right.
Hey, y'all. Y'all going to remember this episode, man, too, man. When y'all looking at us and we up $1 million in the investment pool. Because I know me and Spoop been talking about that as well, getting it together. But look, man, and the most importantly, man, you get a check. When you make your investment, you get a check, man. So we ain't going to tell you how much in this, y'all. But just know, man. When you're a part of the group, man, they look out for you. You get a check, man. So I am invested. I think all of our followers, all our viewers that's watching this, man, should get invested too. Because of some big things that's happening. So my brother, thank you, man.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
This is the one of many, man. But
listen,
man.
Presentation and we right.
This is how you know you're a young billionaire. But
right.
That's the whole goal.
Just showing that too, man. Just how to lay it out, man. Making sure your clients are happy, man. How important is that? Making sure when it comes to business that you. Mm-hmm. When it's tough, that you keep your partners happy.
No, for sure. So that's kind of like, that's the double-edged sword that you deal with, right? Like, because customers, that's your number one priority, right?
Right.
But then you also have your investors or your other partners that you have to keep happy too. So that can be a double-edged sword sometimes, you know what I mean? Because some of your investors or your partners might not be into what the customer think is just about bottom line and all that. So 100%. Like it's tough, but you know, you gotta be able to wear all those hats.
Damn,
you know what I'm saying? It's not easy. Ooh. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not telling everybody to go out and be this, because it's a commitment you have to make, and then it's a daily thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like a daily thing, honestly. Like, it's not these is my work hours and then I'm off at this time.
Right.
It's none of that. And a lot of people don't understand that. They do their own thing, right? But they still got a time frame. And that's cool, like, if that's how you want to do it. But to be at the top, to be the best, it's really no such thing as like a work private, it's just not a balance. It's no balance to that.
Right.
No matter what.
Yep.
No matter what.
We got the family.
Look at what just happened this last year. We have part-time billionaires that have gotten divorced. Their families are breaking up. It's no such thing. And you're going to have people that tell you that, and that's fine. That's what they believe.
Yep. Yeah.
But you got to look at what level they at as well.
Yeah.
You
feel me?
They still might be at a good level or a higher level than you, and that's fine.
Yep.
But I'm just saying, just pay attention to those things.
Ooh. You know what I mean? Look,
pick up what he putting down, though.
Hey, do hurry. Pick up what he putting down, because y'all.
It's important.
So I want to ask you this, too, because you know, we want to speak about Wing Wei. Like that, man. Tell them about the restaurant. Like, like, give them a little bit of last, you know, before we wrap up.
Let
them know, man. Talk your talk.
Yeah.
So,
I do have a lot of things that I'm into. I also have a restaurant, Wing Wei. We the only place in the city, or I'm gonna say probably in the Midwest, that has the 24K gold wings.
Telling you, fire.
I don't think nobody has ever done anything like that. We are not the first ones in the world to do it, but here, nobody has done that yet. And that's what I was telling you about waves. Like, sometimes you can hop on something and you might be the first one in your region with that, and it work out for you. And that's one of the things that worked out for us very well. You know what I'm saying?
So it's open already?
Yeah, we've been open since February. We opened up February 7th, and we've been open ever since.
What's the address?
Out in Northfield, though. Like, it's out there by the casino, the MGM Grand.
Yeah, I know you're talking about all of us.
We out there, right. But
Wing Wei.
Yeah, but in order to do all these things, the team that we talked about is important.
Yep.
And so I have people in place that kind of run these things for me, and then we all check in with each other to make sure we reaching our goals, and this, that, and the third is getting done. So that's how I'm able to do multiple things and not be overwhelmed, because I have a team that's working with YBIC. I have a team that's working with Wingway. I have a team that's doing my Toro car business. I have a team that's working on the Airbnb stuff.
Yeah.
And then we all meet, and then everybody go do their job, and then I can go do more stuff of whatever I want to do.
Let's clap it up.
That's motivation, though. Teamwork, if teamwork make a dream work was a team.
You just heard,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
y'all just heard it. Like, man, look, man, just listen, as y'all heard from the show, I told y'all as we wrap this up that we was going to have a humble legend in the building, man. Yeah. Again, y'all picked up all this game, the music, when you talk about the investments, when you talk about keeping your head on your shoulders, your knowledge, man. And the people that know who this guy is, that know him, man, when y'all see this man, give him his flowers, even if 100%. He don't ask for them. That's just how I respect it, man. So on our show, Back in Business, we want to give people their flowers and people to know, man. So this has been amazing. Episode 18. Spook, how you feeling, man?
I feel like we definitely just shine light on the advice he gave and the business ventures he got going on. And the most important thing that I take from this episode is the team.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm.
That's important to me because that's what we trying to do with our podcast platform. Yep. We building a team. We got our team here with everything we doing. So love and respect.
Love and respect.
You know what I'm saying? Much love.
Y'all get invested too, man. Make sure y'all subscribe to this, man. Amazing episode, man.
For real.
We'll see y'all next episode, man.
That was